Lord and everything in it, the wall, the world, and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. I just think it's good when we think about the gift of the Spirit. You know, we're talking about God and the earth. He made it and everything is his, so nothing is impossible for him. And I just think we need to widen sometimes our belief and understanding. The other verse I had was one I'm sure you all know very well, which is Romans 8:1. Which I can never find when I want to. It says this. Where am I? Chapter 8, isn't it? Verse 1. I'll get there in a minute. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So it says, where's no condemnation? If God gives you a word and people say we don't think that's from the Lord, there's no condemnation. We are being faithful to what God is saying to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this new day. We thank you for life itself, for the air that we breathe, for the food we eat, for the warmth we appreciate. Lord, we thank you for all your good gifts, Lord. Lord, help us to remember that you are God. Help us, Lord, not to try and be in that role ourselves, but to rely upon you, our only God. Lord, we pray for this morning, Lord, that you will speak to us by your Holy Spirit. What you say to one, you'll confirm to another. And Lord, again, we come against that spirit of fear of sharing what we think God's giving us. I pray too, Lord, as we do that, we raise our level of expectation. We expect God to speak to us here this morning. So we come with open arms, with open heart, to receive all that you have for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Shall we stand?
Well, I just feel the Lord put on my heart from Isaiah 54. And it's about being expectant. And verses 2 and 3 say this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And Lord, help us to be an expectant people this morning. Amen. Lord, that we can just accept everything that you have to offer for your glory, for the spreading of your kingdom through us, through your people, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Andy, what you wouldn't have known was that text was given to the church donkey's years ago. We had a man visit us from Baptist Union, who was head of the evangelism at that time. He came down here on a Saturday, and we didn't own this site there, and there was another building here. And I remember he took me out to the front of the church, he took me out to the front here in Mount Street, and he said, you know, as he read this text through, he felt the Lord was saying that not only would we own this site that you're now sitting on, In spiritual terms, he said he could see people sitting at tables and chairs.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Dennis, for showing that.
Can I add something similar to what Dennis has said? Many years ago, it was just the chapel and the back room. A group of us gathered, I think, on a Thursday night to pray about what we should do. We bought the land, and I was given a couple of verses from Luke 14, which said, Luke 14, verses 28 and 29. Suppose one wants to build a tower. will he not sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone will ridicule him. And we were looking what we should do. Could we afford it? At the back of the chapel was the small church hall, which is where the storage room is now. Behind that was a large bank going up to the bottom of the hedge. What do we do? And I felt God say to me that we need to prepare the ground. And Dennis asked me this question. Do you mean the ground at the back of the hall or the whole ground? Which the reply I was given was, yes, prepare the whole lot. Which we did. And now you're sitting
on the whole lot.
25, 20 odd years later, on the whole lot.
Praise the Lord.
We've
got the bio centre as well, the manor house.
Amazing.
And the new prayer room.
Hallelujah. I hope your expectations are high this morning. Mine are. What I'm suggesting we do, we sit round in groups, round a table. I can't see out this eye, sorry. We sit in groups round the table, okay, and we pray and we wait upon the Lord to see what he wants to say to us. Now, if your mind's a blank at this moment, which sometimes mine is at this time of day, Joe has put some pictures and things out here, like acorns and things like that. Sometimes these things focus people's minds on certain aspects of ministry. So if your mind goes absolutely blank, do have a look over here at the table that Joe has prepared. Now, the idea is that we sit around in groups and you pray and wait upon the Lord in those groups, okay? Now, there's paper here and pencils if you haven't got anything to write with, because it's important that if the Lord gives you a word of prophecy, that it's to be shared with the church. And I think it's important that if you can, write them down. Otherwise, you can't weigh them. If in all your groups, the Lord speaks and gives you things, and as a church, we don't know about it. We can't do much about it, in a sense. So it's good if you can write it down so that we can weigh them and pray through them. Is that clear? Jolly good. Excellent. I pray the Lord's going to speak through each and every one of you this morning. So do gather around a table and pray together.
How long are you giving us for this?
Well, I thought 45 minutes. Half past 10. Half past 10, then we're going to close about 11 o'clock.
I've come for paper and a couple of pencils.
Always okay, how are you doing? This is really a time to share from the groups what you think, what you hear the Lord saying. Remember that the word may be for you individually, it may be for the church, and that's why these things need to be weighed. If you have not had anything, take comfort, because it's good just to be sitting, to be quiet before the Lord anyway. And if that is the situation with you, remember with Elijah, God didn't speak through the wind and the earthquake or the fire, but in a still, small voice. And if we're not quiet before the Lord, we're not going to hear that still, small voice. Now, have you been weighing the prophecies in your groups? Some yes, some no. Okay. What I suggest was, where the words are written down, if Dennis is happy, perhaps we could collate these and print them. The ones that where we've weighed them to feel that they're right for the church as a whole. And you've got most of the church here, I know, but it's good to put it in black and white, I think. Just encourage you. I had one little one. I saw this when I came in. It's a conker. And I think the Lord was saying they're expecting to see growth, but at the moment we're a bit like the conker. a bit hard on the outside, but there's potential for amazing growth. The Lord wants to soften us so that the growth can take place. It is the Lord who will give the growth. Our part in all of this is to be willing and available to be used by God. But I don't know why, but I saw, as soon as I came in this morning, I saw that conga, I thought, what's that saying? Mm-hmm. So that's where I am. Now, anyone want to share prophecies or words that have been weighed by the groups? Would you like to come out if you haven't?
Well, we thought the things that we found linked together, then we're not sure whether it's in just encouragement or... Okay. Well, we didn't confer at the beginning. We just all sat round the table, and then when we read out what some of us had thought, we thought there was a link. I looked at Psalm 24 again that we'd already mentioned this morning, and said that if we follow and worship God, He will bless us. And verse 6 was interesting because it said, such is the generation, and that word seemed to be underlined to me, the generation of those who seek Him. Then I looked at Isaiah 40:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Then I looked at I took the picture, which is a picture of all sorts of Wellington boots of different sizes and colours. And I thought that was rather like all of us. We're all different ages, we're different sizes, we're some male, some female. And the interesting thing was that the boots were very muddy. We've all gone through hard times, but the Lord will encourage us. And then Audrey had some things.
The first thing I had was, I will build my church. The emphasis on build, will. Similar to, I've forgotten the names, never mind. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then I was reminded of there seemed to be concern about the value of some of the things that we run, whether they're being profitable in various ways. But I had that it is God who scatters across the nations, because I felt that if they're working, you know, there's got to be an outworking of these things, and it's God who scatters across the nations. And that also took me on to the picture. Those of you who have the diary, the prayer diary, it's like a dandelion.
Yes.
And the seed gets blown, and it doesn't resist. I felt that we needed to go along with God. It doesn't resist what's happening to it. Okay.
Morris?
Well, I had a very simple scripture, which was Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to follow me, you must take up your cross. Yeah. And this really comes down to commitment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I just, when I was listening to God, I felt him asking me to look around the room, and then he reminded me about when we used to meet for prayer and fasting, and I just felt he was saying that I will bless this church for your hungry and your seeking after me.
Our group was very quiet
to begin with, is we just mulled over the sort of things that we've been hearing and how useful it had been last night to get instruction on how this should work. And during this time, I've always been curious as to exactly how do we do it, the practicalities of prophecy. So those of us who've been going to house groups have been studying Ezekiel, and our house group hasn't got on to the dry bones yet. I think we're destined for the dry bones after the break. But the dry bones did seem to me to be a classic example of how prophecy is supposed to work, because God says to Ezekiel, goes into the valley of the dry bones, he says, prophesy to the bones. Now, if I was Ezekiel, I'd sort of think, oh, what on earth am I supposed to say? It's a great big pile of bones all over the place. Clearly, they're not even in body shapes, they're just a mass of individual bones. What do I say? And the Lord gives some instructions. He says, tell them to listen to the word of the Lord, which is an important first point, isn't it? That God says, tell what I'm telling you to prophesy to listen to what I'm saying. Tell them that I, the sovereign Lord, am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord. So in the end, the God gets the glory for this particular exercise. So Ezekiel must have said something like to the dry bones, tell them, I'm speaking to you, dry bones, I want you to receive the word of the Lord. And as he's doing this, there's this rattling sound. And the rattling sound is the bones are starting to move. And they're starting to come together. And for me, that spoke about how immediate the reaction can be. That God can immediately bring about a reaction if we're prophesying in the way he asks us to do, and we're saying the things he does. There's not a delay in this instance here. The bones were going, and then Ezekiel was told to prophesy to the wind, or the spirit, if you like, so that they get air. And the spirit comes, and they clothed in sinews, and they stand up like a mighty army. Must have been quite a terrifying experience to see them all there. Now, we know the bones are supposed to be the people of Israel who got dry and so on, but that was an instruction to me as to how to prophesy, because I always think to myself, what do I say? What do I say? God wants me to say something, but what shall I say? And then I moved on to Mark. I moved on to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24, where God says, whoever tells this hill to get up and throw itself in the sea and doesn't doubt in his heart that it will be done, will find that it is done. So telling the hill must be prophesying to the hill, I thought. Would you think that was right? Prophesy to the hill? So what on earth would you say to the hill? Cast yourself into the sea. Now, our table agreed that there's not many instances that we've heard of, with all the communications that we get throughout the world, of hills being cast into the sea. So God must be referring here to the hills that we find ourselves up against, our own personal mountains, the personal hills that we find, the personal difficulties, the difficulties of our neighbours, our friends, our family, our church. And we were thinking in our group about the personal mountains of the church at the moment. And it might be that we're concerned about years of sports reach and not much fruit, years of Battle Baptist Football Club, mother and toddler, few converts, empty baptistry. These might be things that we were thinking about. And it got me thinking about, what about if God said to me, prophesy to the players at Battle Baptist Church Football Club? And how would I do that? We often pray, oh Lord, please get some of these people to open their eyes and so on. That's not prophecy, is it? How do I prophesy to the players? Do the players have to be present? No, because Ezekiel prophesied to the wind, and the wind wasn't there, and it came. So I thought, well, it must be possible, because it looks as if you have to do this out loud. It helps if you do it out loud, that I could prophesy to Battle Baptist Church football players. And I might say something like, players in Battle Baptist Football Club, I'm speaking directly to you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I command you to open your eyes and ears and understand what I, the Lord, have been saying to you for years. I command you to accept me as your saviour so that I may be glorified. Amen. Now that didn't seem to me to be a bad idea, actually. And you could sort of do that with all sorts of things, couldn't you? Actually actually talk to it. And it, in Mark, it is actually the person who's supposed to do it. Mm. We're not supposed to pray for somebody to do it. This is us being told, get up and do it. Prophesy. You don't need to embarrass yourself in the four-minute talk and say to the players, I'm going to prophesy to you, because 95% of them won't understand what that means. They'll think you're nuts. But God wants people to come here. Rachel was talking about a church where they went and they prayed for people to come that they needed. Well, we might, for example, need musicians. So we could say, musicians who are destined to come to Battle Baptist Church, I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Open your eyes up and receive my command to come to battle. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought that might work. It seems to be scriptural. Mm-hmm. But that's what we were doing. And John, come out and tell them about the bit you had as well, which tied in with what I've just been thinking about there.
I just want to keep it very brief, because I likewise was putting something about the breath of God. And probably more importantly, to summarise all of that, so keep it succinct, was that the way of the world is not the way of God. I mean, we know that in our heads, but it was all to do with breath and the breath of God and the wind. And I thought on the news this morning, they're saying, whoa, whoa, and thrice woe, the wind's going to blow very hard. And I thought, oh, jolly good, the wind might blow hard, it'll be refreshing, cleansing, and all this. God's way is not man's way. Mm-hmm. So we may think it absolutely nuts to prophesy in the way Rob was talking about, but actually, if that's God's way, then it will work. You know, you don't go to a pile of dry bones and tell them they're going to live. You don't. Jesus went to, and I was reflecting back to a sermon that we had 2 weeks ago. You don't go to a little girl who is dead and tell her she's going to come back to life. But Jesus did, and she did. And I noted that at the time, someone was playing the pipes, blowing breath again. And it just intrigued me, the whole thing. And I wrote down all this stuff about breath of God, and then Rob came up with what he said, and that seemed interesting.
Thank you, John.
We had kind of three pictures, and the wonderful thing about our group is that everybody has contributed to this. So I'm not going to name names, I'm just going to say the first person came up with a picture of a swan, and the swan was looking absolutely beautiful and serene, and of course underneath the water was working like mad, and there were a couple of interpretations of that from other people in the group, and one was that the swan was a picture of the church, from the outside community, and it looked beautiful, it looked really great, it looked very, very attractive. But behind it was all the work that was going on by the people in the church. And that was very, very encouraging. It was a really encouraging picture for us as church members to get involved in things that are going on in the church. The second one was just it was just two words, really. Another member said these two words, shining beacon. And yeah, that was pretty much it. Shining beacon, just those words. And then a third member of our group had another vision of sandpaper. It was a picture of sandpaper. And it was a fairly fresh piece of sandpaper. It was looking new, but it had been used. And it was clogged up with all the wood that it had kind of sanded off, and that was it. That was the picture. When we spoke about that and we tried to interpret that, we wondered whether that was certain people within the church who had plenty of effectiveness in them. They had lots of ability to do great work, but they were clogged up. They were tired, overworked, we kind of suggested that the piece of sandpaper should be thrown away and we should have a new piece of sandpaper. But then we realised that actually what you could do is just flick that sandpaper or shake it, and you know, it would all, and underneath it is a piece of sandpaper that is really worth
keeping and using again. So we kind of thought the piece of sandpaper was just being ineffective at the moment, but it had plenty of potential. And then we had another member who gave a picture of a house, and this is something that has they were given this picture a long, long time ago. Reluctant to share it with the whole church, but kind of really wanted to show it now, and so shared it. And it was of it might have been a house that they were moving into, or it might have just been any old house, but they it had a it felt like home, and it had a long thin conservatory on the back. And as they walked through the house, through the conservatory, into the garden, they noticed that the garden was bland. It was very bare. It was just kind of like grass, and it had three huge brick walls along the perimeter. And as they walked into it, they turned round to face the house, and it was just really bland, big concrete walls. As they looked back at the house, all shut up. And but the interesting thing was, as they were standing in the garden and looking over the walls to the sides, they could see that the garden was flanked on both sides by two very tall churches with spires that were made out of glass. And I think I'm going to stop there, because I've probably talked enough, and I just want to leave those visions with you and those pictures.
Yes, thanks.
After a quiet moment of thought, we start off with some personal words, which were somebody saw an image of the word coming out of one of the other ladies' mouths, that it was the power of the word that we speak, which we needed to be reminded of. Another image was that somebody was under the umbrella of God, the shelter, the shadow of the Almighty. And then somebody else was described as soaring with enormous angels' wings. But then we moved on to thinking about the church, and there were a series of descriptions, really, of the church, in the sense that as a body, we have the foundation of my church, but we need to get it in order. So that was followed by another word, which... just were two words, really: rebellious spirit. So, yeah. And then there was this description of a trickle, a waterfall that was just a trickle and was very disappointing. And that was followed by another picture of the boat that goes under the enormous power and of Niagara Falls, and there was a desire to get thoroughly immersed in the Holy Spirit. And then these things started to converge, because we had a sense that God was describing us as like a bicycle wheel, which had a couple of broken spokes, and they needed to be rebalanced and tightened up so that the tire was running smoothly in the right direction. And we're reminded that somebody had a vision years ago, somebody called Reg Borman, where he described the church as being like a wheel with the spokes radiating out from us in terms of different ministries. And then somebody else had a word which was to do with a verse in Psalm 64, which was to do with the words that sometimes are spoken negatively against us, that God has the ability to turn those words around. And the things that make us fearful, God can reverse. And that we are to take refuge in God and not fear what people speak to us as a church or as individuals. And then there was an image of Isaiah 35, the highway of holiness, how that we are travelling on this road together, and that we are safe from animals attacking us if we move forward together, if we are actually cleansed. An image came out that was a picture of the cross, which had a tap at the bottom of it, which was labelled detergent. And that there was a cleansing, a place for cleansing, where we needed to come collectively and individually in order to then walk on this highway of holiness. There was an earlier word which said that God pronounced us unfit for purpose. So there was both the sense, there's two words, the rebellious spirit, and then another word, unfit for purpose. But then there was also, as well as those what one could call slightly negative words or words of warning, there was this place of cleansing at the cross of Jesus. And the sense that God uses the ordinary things in life, the things all around us, to speak to us, and in fact that we are ordinary people, but filled with an extraordinary spirit of God in that sense, and that we should accept that God can do anything. And the prophecy is simply reporting what we receive, and from the Holy Spirit, we're just reporting it. And that in the church we have this structure where things are weighed, and the most important thing, I think, at the end of our conversation was that if two or three people prophesy similar words, that the elders, that those words shouldn't disappear into the ether, that they should be reported back on, then that the question arose that are things being reported as they are given in different meetings, and are those prophecies collected, as it were, for to be looked at, and then do we as a congregation get that kind of report back, that you know, those collective words are meaningful to the church, and this is how they are to be used. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Why do you want three, James? Just a reminder too, if those words have been weighed by your group and you feel appropriate, please let me have them in writing so that we can weigh them.
I'm afraid our table, we didn't really get to sharing, and I think we were so busy writing and listening, we really didn't get down to being able to share. But I've got little odd notes here, and it all seems to tie up with what Rob brought about the dry bones. Maureen just had a word. Maureen's my sister from Crawley, and she was very thrilled to be able to join us today. And she had got this word, diversity. A word. And I think those dry bones must have been all sorts of different people. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think that might come in. Hildegard had the words, my gift to you, my word, hold on to. It is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path.
Lovely.
I had a lovely time with this table. I don't know, did everybody else find something that inspired them? I picked up this, an old dry bit of wood, full of woodworm, very twisted. And I was asking God to speak to me through that and see if he'd got anything for me. Now, he gave me some lovely words for my he gave me something for the church. And I'm just going to read it to you as he gave it to me. I find that when I'm listening to God, it helps if I've got a pen in my hand and a book to write in. And I write it all down as I feel God is speaking it. And I write down what I'm saying to God, and then I write down what I think he's saying to me. Now, if you find listening to God difficult, try that. It really is quite a different way of listening to God. Sorry. This is the word that I felt he was saying to our church. And looking at this thing at the same time, the church is very old, but very precious to me. Twisted with the passing of time and the effect of the wind on your branches. Damaged by woodworm, and then in brackets I've got wrong people, wrong decisions along the way. Divisions, yes, here and there. And I was thinking, we have had a lot of divisions lately. But I don't know, God's working his purposes out over that, isn't he? But over all this, this is still God speaking, but over all this, I am with you, my people. You are and always have been my children. I am your God. You are my people. You are beautiful in my sight. If you look at that again, you are beautiful in my sight. In my hand, you are part of my creation, my intention. If you keep close to me, you will see what I shall do. Then I had a picture. Lord, I see the bonfire being built in the middle of Battle High Street. It is dark and lifeless. It needs paper and dry, lifeless wood, and a match to get it going. And then this is me speaking again. Are you saying that this piece of wood and many bits like it can be used in your hands to bring life and light to this town? And then I thought about those words, in my hands. And this is God talking again. Keep close to me by prayer and meditation of the scriptures. That comes in again with Hildegard's. The importance of the scriptures. Be still and know that I am God. Pray without ceasing. And then those words from the diary, the prayer diary for a few days ago, giving us a scripture to think about. My prayer, this is the one from John 17, 20 to 23. My prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. So we've got to carry on that when the disciples thought that they'd lost Jesus forever, but no, Jesus' word was going to go on through them. Thank you.
Strange enough, our discussion really tied in with the dry bones again. The dry bones is coming up quite a lot. And we thought, I'm going to tell you a little story about Margaret if she doesn't mind. Do you mind? Margaret had a nightmare last night. And she felt that she was completely bound and stifled. And the word came, that the word stifled came. And we thought about it and prayed about it and prayed with Margaret too. And we felt that we need to take off the grave clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where it comes from. It's Lazarus being brought up mm-hmm. from the dead.
Yeah.
And we need the grave clothes to be taken off. And it says they took off the grave clothes and let him go.
Yeah.
And he had grave clothes all right the way, you know, head to toe. And that the grave clothes needed to be taken off. And I think, you know, as a church, we need to release ourselves from those grave clothes, the past, and all the things, and you were talking about the past and the things that went wrong. I think we need to release ourselves from those things and release God to do a new thing
mm-hmm.
in us. We also had a picture of a square window with light streaming through. And obviously that is the light of the Holy Spirit streaming through into the life of this church. And I believe that, you know, if we take those clothes off, the light will stream through. It's a sort of back to front, you know, whole discussion that we had, because having said that, we then thought of this word abundance. Now, Francis mentioned this right at the beginning, that even with, I don't know where you, if you've been walking at Ashburnham, you will see an abundance of acorns, conkers, sweet chestnuts. I love sweet chestnuts, and I've been picking those up. So there's an abundance. The whole of this year is completely abundant with fruit, vegetables, wheat, you name it, we have it. And I think God is saying to us, I want to bless you abundantly.
Amen.
And I think we need to just take off the clothes, look to him, and he is going to bless us through the Holy Spirit. Have I missed anything, Penny?
Remaining in him.
Staying in him.
Staying
yeah.
in him.
Mm. Right?
Releasing the fear was one of the great.
Oh yeah, releasing fear. The fear of being able to speak in the church, you know, and being able to spend time, to have time to speak about what God wants to say. Yes.
Sorry, Peter. Just we were looking at this picture here, and I just got like provision, like unlimited provision,
yeah.
abundant
yeah.
provision
yeah.
from the picture, and if that. There's a box here with various different bits and bobs. I think that's rhubarb and jam and whatnot.
Yeah.
But to like that abundant provision, that would be those blessings we also have to pour out to other
yes.
people.
Yeah.
And that will continue to be filled. We'll continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit as we give out.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you, Dan.
In our group had a message about being still and waiting and listening to what the Lord has had to say to us, and obviously this morning has given us the opportunity to do that. We had various things. One of the things that a couple of us had was seeking first the kingdom of God and making sure that we get Sundays right, and if we seek him we will get them right. We had more bits about that, and one of us came up with God talking about the possibility that he's hiding his face until we seek him properly, not just presenting him with our plans and saying, which ones do you want to choose, but actually maybe we need to go to him and seek his face completely with a blank page rather than saying, this is what we think, which one. We had this picture on our table, and we were talking about the river as it flows through here, and we got the feeling that maybe we're stuck somewhere down here at the moment, and God actually wants to release us, but maybe he wants to do that
by flowing across here, because often oxbow lakes form, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, are we frightened of this kind of flooding here? But actually, that might be the way he wants to release us.
Mm-hmm.
What about, is there anything I've missed out?
All right, where have we been? How about you youngsters? Yes? Or no?
More close to
me.
I had a first picture, there now, but it was two women having like tea, and then one of them had a ring, and then when I saw the ring, I was just thinking promise and God's promises, and we sort of stopped there. And then I took up this other picture of a pot, and then I was thinking about a story in the Bible. I think it was Elijah. I think he prayed over a plant in some sort of soup, and then when people drank it, they were healed. And the plant reminded me that when we have, you know, even a bit of God's power in our lives, it makes a really big difference. And like even our everyday lives, it can seem quite dull. And you know, sometimes it can seem that we're looking for something. I got a picture of like missing pieces, and I was trying to find it. But I think that we should just sort of keep having God into our lives, and knowing that, you know, it's making a really big difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's bringing like flavor, and you know, making our lives worth living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, one of the words that I received was that we go through periods in our Christian life where we, I remember in my particular life, when I felt the Lord say, whatever I suggest or whatever opportunity comes your way, you should say yes. And I remember going through that period quite well. But then I got a word today from the Lord saying that there are times, many times in the life of men and women, where there's an opportunity to step forward, one step, just take one step forward. And also there's an opportunity to take a step backwards. And I think the more often that you step backwards, in other words, you don't take the challenge, or you become fearful or just lazy, you take a step backwards, it then becomes that much easier to step back the next time, and the next time, and the next time. So it's just the thought that, you know, that when these challenges present themselves, there may be a simple thing, just to say, yes, I'll do that, and just take one step forward. That's one thing. Anything else that you can share?
You should share the picture
of the man. Oh yes. And then we also had a picture of a man at the top of a mountain, facing the sea, very steep mountain, and he went into a swallow dive. His arms outstretched, and he dived straight into the water, no thought, no hesitation, straight into the water. And then the next man who was due to dive was seen to be clinging like a limpet to the rocks. He couldn't move through sheer fear. His hands had to be peeled off the rock by the assistants, and he had to be helped down the mountain. It took about 4 hours to get down the mountain because his fear was so great. And again, that's a picture for individuals and for the church as well, that, you know, we can actually be so petrified of challenges and those things going on around us that actually by not facing the challenge and just making that simple one dive, one simple movement, we can actually face a horrendous time through fear disabling us in the future.
Yes, sir.
Because I wasn't given any pictures or visions, but I have three little sentences. And the first one, I think, is an encouragement. Follows on from your...
Speaking
from
my...
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Speaking
from
my...
Yeah.
The first one, a sentence I had was, cry my name from all the hilltops. And I think that fits in. I think this mountains and hilltops seems to be quite important. And then, I am the Lord and you are my beloved children. And after that I had, the clouds will roll back. And I think that all ties in with the challenges.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, is that right?
I don't know.
That's right, tell me afterwards. It was great to be part of the table here, and just want to give some little bit of detail, if you like, over some of the things we said, because the Lord drew me to Isaiah 54 and 55. So really, I went through those scriptures to see what the Lord was saying. And it's just so encouraging to really just to confirm, you know, hope and believe a lot of the things you were saying. So, for example, straight off at the start of Isaiah 54:4, don't be afraid to spread out. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. You will not get humiliated.
Amen.
You will not suffer shame. You know, the whole context of what we had is in 54:17, no weapon forged against you will prevail. Mm. We have a heritage with the Lord. He is going to grow his church.
Mm.
And yet there were some challenges in this as well.
Mm.
There is a sense in Isaiah 54:8 that God is hiding his face from us in the sense of the answer to the future of the church. But he's going to fulfill his covenant with his church.
Mm.
It's tremendous. Moving on to Isaiah 54:13, I just felt the Lord saying that in relation to the Friday nights, the rebuilding the youth element of the 412 congregation, that his word is going to be taught to those young people.
Mm.
There is going to be peace amongst those young people. And I took that as a tremendous encouragement for those involved in those particular ministries. Isaiah 55 talks about what Dan said earlier. There's God's provision, abundant provision, if you read those verses. And then in verse 4, it's interesting this. It's not about sometimes us sitting back and being sort of waiting for divine appointments. It talks about witnessing in the context of leadership. I just felt the Lord saying, be leaders where you are in sharing the gospel.
Mm.
Again, don't be afraid.
Mm.
And then something, this table said over here, and John and Robin thinks, is that verse 8, 9, 10 and 11.
Mm.
Our ways are not the Lord's.
Yes.
And yet there's an inevitability about what the Lord's going to do.
Mm.
So he's going to do something new and fresh that's beyond our thinking. And yet it's not going to be like some, oh wow, disaster's happened. Actually, he's going to think, yes, you know, why didn't we think of that?
Mm.
The Lord's way is greater than ours. And also about what you said, the importance of God's word. God's word will always, always bear fruit.
Mm.
Isaiah 56 goes on about keeping the Sabbath important.
Mm.
And of course you know the context of our discussions as leaders on that. Trying to get Sundays right. And then the challenge within that whole context, bearing in mind the whole context was encouraging, the challenge I found in verse 10 onwards of Isaiah 56, and about, you know, perhaps it's not about us as leaders looking at this. It's about what God wants.
Mm-hmm.
If we're lacking understanding, if we're just understandably human, thinking our own ways on this, then just turn back to the Lord and he will provide the answer.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Our table was the quietest. Nobody spoke for 45 minutes.
Wow.
We shared nothing. Now, I'm useless at this sort of thing. So I sat there very quietly and tried to empty my mind and tried to think about what Francis has spoken about last night in Dennis. So I'm not going to comment on what I was given at all. I was given one word, giving. And the temptation then, of course, is to take the word giving and then work a sermon out on it. Because that's what I do. So I didn't. I just sat there. And the words that then came into my mind, not a sermon at all, were these. Self and time. Remember, they're all related to the word giving.
Mm-hmm.
pressed down and running over. I don't normally get pictures at all. Don't think in pictures. Got a picture of a busker. Now, where a busker comes from, I have no idea. Not much there, so he got not much in front of him, and the words came, little return for much effort. And then finally, still linked to giving, a picture of the cross, I did this for you. Now, I'm not going to comment, because we were told not to comment. I haven't got a clue what any of it means.
I'm sure the Lord will reveal what he wants to reveal.
God's
word stands.
Tim, would you come out and share from that picture that you had on our table? I think Tim is somebody whom God's really going to use in this area, which is why I was so anxious to get him into my group. we had this picture here, which is our... the five main words I got for this were lost, life, treasures, beauty, living water, and go. Because these green trees here, while I sort of felt the word being said was that some have brown leaves and some have green, which is going from death to life. And lost being up in the mountains, but the fountains being at the front here, with the all the buildings and green trees, and there's a little red tree down somewhere around hidden and built behind a building here, and I felt that was hidden treasures and beauty, that the treasures in the world aren't always obvious to our eyes, so we have to go out to find them. And the word go was all these little boats in the harbour here are in the water, which is the living water, and we are the boats that are meant to go. Which is basically pretty much what I got from that.
Thank you.
Whilst all this was going on, see, I a bit like Melvin, I thought, oh dear. So I wandered up to my office and found a book, and a retreat that I'd been on some years ago. And I noted these few thoughts down. And when I came back and sat down and Tim shared about the picture, I thought, oh, that's really interesting, because I've got all that in words without actually looking at the picture. It had never occurred to me that this picture that everybody else was looking at was one about reflection. And I'd written down about the importance of reflection. Out of ordinary things, God speaks and gives them extraordinary meaning. God often uses the natural, like June and the bit of wood or the dry bones. God often uses the natural to speak to us of the supernatural. I'd noted something down on this retreat, which I thought was worth sharing again, and that is give the full time to your prayer. If you've agreed to do something for 30 minutes, then don't cut it short at 25 because you don't seem to be getting anywhere. Very often it will be in the last minute or two that God actually says something if you hang out for the full amount of time you've previously agreed. Reflective prayer is often the open doorway to the prophetic, and yet in Baptist churches we tend to be much more activist than reflective, which is perhaps maybe why we often do experience a dearth of the prophetic. Does anybody else from my group want to share anything else? Chris, Dan and Pat, did you want to say anything?
It's interesting that one sees things differently, for better or for worse. And my first thought when I saw this picture of the lake and mountain, it was reflection. And it was reflecting on God's word. God's word is absolute truth, which is very short supply at the moment in every part of life. Mm-hmm. But God's word is eternal. God's word, everyone, a whole lot in the original languages were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this is why we can absolutely trust God's word. It's always correct, except when he's quoting from what Satan says, but he still quotes correctly. So that was my thought. Very much the same. The whole of the scriptures are inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you all. Just going back to Rob's picture of Ezekiel, it's still chapter 47. I still feed on regularly. I think it's again part of the challenge with our walk with the Lord. Are we walking ankle deep, knee deep, or are we swimming in the Spirit? And I think that's a continuing challenge, following on from what Rob was saying about the body of dry bones. We need to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit, and give the Holy Spirit the space in our lives to work and for us to walk with Him. I hope you're all encouraged by what's happened this morning. I don't know the pictures we've had this morning, but there's been a wide variety of pictures you will have known and seen, examples. And I pray that it will encourage you in your prayer life and in your ministry. You're all engaged in different ministries here in the church. I will also remind us how good it is sometimes to be in silence and to wait upon the Lord. Something I find quite difficult, I confess, but there's always something to do. But I think it's so good if we can actually set aside time to be with the Lord and see what He's saying to us. So I really want to encourage you all this morning, and I want to praise God for the pictures He's given, for the words He's given. I hope and pray for the inspiration He's given, that we're not to be in a holy huddle, but we are to shed this light out into the town in which we live. And God has given us the gifts and the giftings that we need. He will give us. We're not going to go short if we're walking with the Lord. He will give us all that we need. If He calls us, He will actually provide for us. He doesn't call us and leave us short. I do pray that that's been a real encouragement for all today. I would urge you, those who've had words of prophecy, please write them down. I was going to say in writing, but clearly, so that I can read them and understand them, and I'll try and put them in some format for us to think about and to pray about. And so I want to thank you all for coming this morning. Dennis is going to say a word, I can see by the look on his face. And Jogan, we'll close with a short time of worship.
I just wanted to say, tomorrow in the morning service, we're hoping to make space for prophetic contributions. In the evening service, I'm hoping that there's going to be a longish time there when, in the context of worship, we can pray and lay hands on people and sort of commission them, if you like, to be even more released into the things of the Spirit. Mm. And I hope to preach at both occasions on some aspect of prophecy. Now, it would be really helpful afterwards, after this weekend is over, if you've got any further reflections on this, if you could let one of the elders know. It would also be helpful to hear from you if you think that this is something we might do on another occasion, perhaps with a different sort of subject to explore for a weekend. I personally think it's actually been a very good use of our time. But then I would say that, wouldn't I? You've kept me off the streets for a weekend. So, yeah.
Away from the donuts.
But I think it's been really, really useful to see how many people have come along. And you know, I imagine most of you are going to be here at some stage tomorrow. I know the Walshes aren't, because I think you're going to away for the week, aren't you? But really appreciate the fact that you've given up this time to come. I think it's been really helpful. And there's drinks, and we've got to try and shift these dreadful donuts afterwards as well.
They should have defrosted by then. So. Joe, would you like to lead us in that? If folk have to go for any reason, we quite understand, so you're bursting to go, feel free.
Shall we stand and sing a last song together?
There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer.